On a cold day in March, hundreds of art lovers lined up outside the Whitney Museum in Manhattan. It was opening day of the 2004 biennial. On the sidewalk nearby, an artist who hadn't made it into the exhibition, Eric Doringer, set up a table to display his paintings, briefcase-sized replicas of some of the same works that viewers would see inside.
Okay, so as far as the paintings, we have Fred Tomaselli here, Kim Fisher. These are both John Curran, who's not actually in the biennial, but just had a show that closed here. Leila Ali, Julie Moretu, Mel Bachner.
Doringer has been selling his paintings, which he calls bootlegs, for about 2 years now, usually on the sidewalks outside trendy galleries in New York or big exhibitions such as the Biennial.
We could go into a whole diatribe about originality, couldn't we?
That's kind of what it's all about.
Right.
And also bringing art to the people at low prices.
Great. Uh-huh. And how much is that?
The paintings are all 60.
Doringer is a 30-year-old graduate of the School of the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston. He had got the idea to make bootleg paintings one day while walking along Canal Street in New York, where budding entrepreneurs often sell handbags that look like they are made by Louis Vuitton, but in fact are fakes. In his Brooklyn studio, Doringer has a whole system set up, a type of assembly line where he can manufacture 5 or 6 copies of the same painting at a time.
This is actually going to be for an image by John Curran. So this is sort of a middle-aged woman, perhaps, and she's, I guess you could say, tall and skinny, and in the painting she kind of sits off to one edge in the corner.
Doringer likes to copy simple pictures that have just one or two principal elements. He starts by painting the background colors on a piece of canvas. Then he scans an image of the work from a catalog or book into his computer, prints them in color, cuts out the main shapes, and pastes those onto the background paint.
What I do is I brush on more of this clear acrylic, and that's what'll give it the illusion that there's brushstroke texture to it.
James Wagner and Barry Hoggart are art collectors who own a half dozen works by Doringer, including a copy of a painting by Rob Pruitt. Barry Hoggart explains.
Basically, everyone we know that works in the art world that comes into this room assumes that it is a real Rob Pruitt when they first see it, and we have to explain to them, and all of them have heard of Eric, so they all laugh.
At the same time, some of the artists whom Doringer copies feel that the bootleg concept is really nothing but a catchy gimmick.
That's one thing we've heard artists talk about. Because we were talking with someone, I won't say his name, but it's someone that Eric does do work by, and he said that, you know, effectively Eric is successful because he goes to stuff like a dinner party with a bunch of other artists, and a lot of people end up talking about him.
The bootlegs have appeared in 7 gallery shows across the country and are by far more profitable than the other concepts that Doringer produces, such as designer marijuana bongs and parodies of children's toys. But their success, as modest as it is, has surprised Doringer, who thought he would make them just once and sell them as a sort of performance piece while sitting outside the galleries where the real things were selling for much more.
The first time that I went out there in Chelsea, I mean, it was really scary. I didn't know if people were going to be yelling at me and calling the police and things like that.
So far, Doringer has avoided the law, but if he was ever sued, Doringer could claim that his copies aren't copies at all, but wholly new works of art. The bootlegs, after all, don't look that much like the originals, and they aren't meant to. They tend to be flatter, simpler, and smaller. In reality, Doringer doesn't pay too much attention to the finer points of the law. For the Whitney show, he sold copies of a video that some artists had put up on the internet.
I'm not that much of a familiar with internet law and copyright, but I mean, it is something that's there on the web and freely available. I don't know. I probably am breaking the law, but hopefully they won't mind.
Two artists did mind, and when they asked Doringer to stop selling copies of their works, he did. A number of other artists, however, have said they are flattered that they were fit to be imitated. One of those artists is David Reed, who bought Doringer's bootleg of one of his untitled canvases, half of which is pink, the other half pale yellow, with 3 abstract shapes in the foreground.
I like the colors he picked for the background, which are mixed paint. And they're a bit, I'd say, dirtier than my colors. A little more complicated, which is nice.
Reed says Doringer's concept is not just a comment about the art world, but about society as a whole.
Our world is changing, and it's very hard to tell what's real and what isn't, what's virtual and what's actual. And everything seems to be percentages rather than completely one way or the other.
Doringer was also selling T-shirts at the biennial opening. They were red with white letters that spelled out Whitney Biennial 2004 and listed all the artists who were included in the show. Stuck in among the names was Doringer's own. It was a joke, of course, but one he imagines might come true one day.
How can you sell that?
Until they make me stop, you know.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Do you not think it's a bit rude?
They're not going to make you stop.
No, most...
How much are you selling them for?
The paintings are all 60, the works on paper are 20, the T-shirts are 10.
For Studio 360, I'm Matthew Sherman.
If you want to buy an Eric Doringer original fake, you might find him outside the art galleries in West Chelsea in Manhattan in New York City, or you can see a few of his images at studio360.org.